You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, DC? It's Anthony Citadino and Ben Mehich from Locked On Wizards coming at you for the first time ever. We'd like to send a shout out to Renee Washington, who hosted the show last season. We'd like to thank you for all your hard work. We wish you well in your career as you are on to bigger and better. We're happy to take over, and we're really excited for the season ahead. We'll be coming at you 5 nights a week or more, some weekends. You can find us on the Locked On Network. Shoot us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We will be covering the Wizards daily all season, and we'll have various guests on throughout the season, including players, coaches, front office execs, and other NBA players as well. Ben, how does it feel? We're here.
We're here, man. It's been a long time coming. We've been flirting with this idea for a while, but we're here. And let's not waste any more time. Let's save these people their time on the drive, wherever they might be listening. Before we started this podcast, the Wizards completed probably the biggest trade in recent history. I'd say probably their biggest trade in modern history. They traded John Wall to the Houston Rockets for Russell Westbrook. We haven't seen Russell play yet, but we saw John play. So what did you think about him playing? For me, it was kind of a surreal thing to see him in a Rockets uniform. Now, before you and I talked, I was genuinely kind of concerned about the way he'd look. The history for an Achilles injury isn't great. I think Rudy Gay is probably the best example of a player who's recovered somewhat. Wes Matthews as well. But John relies on his athleticism more than any other player. But he's looked great over these last few games. What did you think about his performance?
John looks absolutely great. I love his comeback. I love that he's fitting in well in Houston. Ben, we've talked about it a lot. I mean, you've been covering John since he was a kid and since, you know, you were a kid. As a fan, as someone who's covered him and, you know, known him for years and seasons on seasons, how does it feel now seeing him in a different
game? It's super weird, and I'm glad you were right, at least early on. I mean, you've been optimistic about his return for way longer than I have, and I think you've been more optimistic than most by saying, like, you know, he's gonna come back. He's been rehabbing for 2 years. He's 30, but he's a young 30. It's not like he has a ton of miles on him, and he looked great. I mean, I watched his initial game. Right immediately off the bat, he blows by Kobe White, gets to the basket, finishes the layup. I mean, like the traditional plays that John Wall has made all throughout his career, he was making, which was awesome to see. You know, I don't know what his situation is going to be in Houston. I think best case scenario, he rebuilds his trade value and he ends up getting traded like Chris Paul did probably. Or he convinces James Harden to stick around. Like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. But from the Wizards' perspective, and I'd like to get your point on this too, obviously it's too early to say like they blew this trade because John looks like himself. But I mean, what are you thinking as someone who's assessing the Wizards now, watching John perform at, you know, levels that we've seen before?
Yeah, right. We don't want to say that they blew the trade, right, just yet, because, I mean, obviously we haven't seen Russell play. Russell is, you know, a Hall of Fame talent, triple-double on any given night. That's just how he plays. But, yeah, I mean, if John becomes the all-star player that he has been, I mean, it will end up looking like I'd think of a nice even trade. I mean, they, you know, because Russell, I mean, his market value wasn't the highest coming out of Houston, but, you know, they were able to get a trade done. And Russ, alongside Brad, obviously everyone, you know, is, you know, very gung-ho about that. Adding a Hall of Fame talent like that, probably the most athletic point guard of all time to any team. I mean, that's huge. So smart move for the Wizards, obviously, with, you know, the question marks around John. I mean, if he didn't request a trade, big question marks there. But, I mean, they look like they're both pretty happy now. I mean, we've both been in on these meetings, and Russ has looked I've never seen him look so happy at answer questions to the media. Like, what do you think about that?
And that's the thing, right? I mean, you don't often see a trade that kind of works out for everybody involved, but this is the sort of trade that actually might do that. I mean, Russell was obviously malcontent in Houston, wanted out, and he got what he wanted. He's in DC now, where his usage rate is still going to be through the roof. He'll be able to play like Russell Westbrook plays because he's being coached by Scott Brooks. And I think that's the perfect situation for him. And if you're John Wall, you're in Houston where you have no expectations. You can do, I mean, if he performed poorly, people would have said, well, that was expected. And if he performs to the level as he's capable performing, as he's been doing, then awesome. Then you rebuild your trade value. You might end up at a place better than Houston, a contender in the future, or you convince James Harden to stay. I mean, I don't think this trade could go wrong for either teams if it pans out the way it's panned out so far. But obviously, we haven't even gotten to the regular season yet. Who knows what Russ is going to look like? We're both assuming he looks good, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But before we move on and we talk about Denny Avdia and the performances we've seen recently, we just want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have to read this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautifully commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th. That's just in a couple weeks, fellas, about a month from now. We all know that these diamond engagement rings are iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. So if you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, again, just in a couple of months, fellas, you're definitely going to want to check that out. Again, this is an exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings. It launches January 18th, and you could preview exclusively at BlueNile.com. So Anthony, let's get into it. We got one preseason game in the books. Give me your general takeaways. I admittedly was busy and I didn't catch the full game, so I'd love to hear your impressions of what you saw.
No, it was a great I thought it was a great first preseason game. Washington takes on Brooklyn, came right down to it. Brooklyn ended up getting the win, 119-114. Takeaways from the first quarter for the Wizards, like you touched on all last season. Defensive struggles. They were really, really timid on the defensive end, it seemed. And on the offensive end, it just really seemed like they weren't meshing well. It seemed like a lot of guys were trying to make, you know, the star play, and it just wasn't like really flowing. After the first quarter, though, they really started playing like a true unit. I mean, Denny and Rui and Raul Neto, I mean, they all clicked really well. I mean, firing all cylinders. They played a great game, I think, down the stretch. Second half, they played real strong. I know that KD and Kyrie did not play a lot of the second half. And they, you know, obviously played really, really well in the first half. But the Wizards showed a lot. And it was a lot of fun watching them. Denny in particular. I mean, the kid
was perfect. The thing, right?
Was perfect all night.
It doesn't really matter what the outcomes are of these games. Like you said, Denny went 5 for 5, 13 points. And what really stood out here is he hit all three of his three-point shots. I mean, I talked to you right after they drafted him, and admittedly, I wasn't as high on Denny Avdia as most people were. And I think that's why he kind of slid on the draft boards on draft night. He slipped to 9. He was projected top 5. It's mostly because of his shooting, right? I mean, he shot like 50% from the line in the EuroLeague. If you're shooting poorly as a free throw shooter, usually doesn't translate from deep. But he looked confident in his stroke. Looked absolutely pretty darn good, if you ask me. I mean, it's not like he has a hitch in his shot. It's really fluid. And another thing that stood out to me was his passing, right? The Wizards don't need him to be, you know, Scottie Pippen or Lamar Odom, one of these big guys that can bring the ball up the court. They just need him to be a kind of a secondary ball handler off handoffs, right? We saw that one play where he got the ball off a handoff, I believe, and he dropped a dime to Mo Wagner for a dunk. There aren't too many guys his size that can make those sort of plays. If he continues to play at this level, and we'll talk about this a little later, there's no question that he's going to be the starting forward for the Wizards alongside Rui. Another thing I also wanted to touch on and get your take on this, Rui. I mean, my God, right? The sort of physicality he showed, the aggressiveness, that's the sort of thing that rubs off with Russell on the team, and he gave him credit for that. What did you think about that, especially that one play where he just trucked Durant and dunked on him?
It was great to watch. He was not backing down from any sort of challenge. Obviously, he had that assignment of Kevin Durant, and I mean, before going any further, loved seeing Kevin Durant out there back again. Basketball is just better with him on the, you know, in the league. Thank God that he, you know, that he healed well. He came back. He looks great. Rui, he looked great. You know, I mean, he had 18, four rebounds in 23 minutes. And he shot great behind the arc. There's not much more you can ask for that from your four. And yeah, just like you said, I honestly got off my couch a couple of times when he was when he got up and you know, he dunked on Durant that one time, got that rebound over Durant. I mean, that's it's great. And just like you said, Russ, I mean, Russ coming here, having this sort of high intensity of practice every day. I mean, Scott Brooks has touched on, all the guys have touched on it, you know, in the interviews. And, you know, it's infectious. It's absolutely infectious. And you see it in Denny too. I mean, just like you said, how Denny played and what Scott Brooks was talking about today is he loves Denny's reaction to getting beat on the other end, being scored on. You know, Scott noticed like how angry he really gets when he's scored on. And he like, that's just how he is in practice. He says he's wired that way. I mean, there's no ever like, you know, good shot, man. Like, you know, tap you on the butt. No, none of that. I mean, he's ready for war. I mean, and that's what you want out of your rookie. And with two superstars like Russ and Brad, they got to be loving every second of it.
It's also kind of a common thread, that sort of intensity and fieriness that you're talking about, that they've built this entire roster around, right? I mean, outside of Brad, Russ, and maybe Thomas Bryant and Rui, there aren't guys with like elite skill sets on this roster, right? Or at least not yet. They're still developing. But the common thread with every single one of these players, from Howell Neto, from Ish Smith, to Brad Beal, from Russ, all these guys we talked about earlier, they all play really hard, right? And that wasn't the case with this team not that long ago. I mean, a couple of years ago, effort was an issue, and now it's not. And sometimes in the NBA, that's honestly half the battle. And you got to make up for your lack of talent with effort. And there's no question that the Wizards are going to do that this season. So before we go on, I want to let you guys know about Headspace. I use Headspace. I need to get in the right headspace, right? That's why we call it that. You deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is a meditation tool made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. So, Ant, let's talk about it. You watched the game. What do you think is going to shake up with this small forward spot? I also wanted to kind of touch on your perspective, since it's a new perspective. You're looking at it with fresh eyes with Troy Brown. I'm admittedly a tad biased. I wasn't originally a fan, but I think he has really like elite type skills, right? And maybe that's an exaggeration, but 6'7" guy who was probably a point guard, is really creative with the ball, can shoot a little bit, good defender. A sort of a jack of all trades type player. I really like him. What did you think about him in the first game? Were you disappointed by his play? And what do you think about the small forward competition in general with Isak Bonga, Denny, and Troy Brown, and maybe even Davis Bertans?
So yeah, I mean, you heard Scott last week. I mean, he said that like the position, you know, the three is going to be quote unquote, you know, fluid throughout the year. So a lot of guys switched in, switching out. Troy Brown, I love his game. I think he's, you know, I think he played great in, you know, his first game. He had 22 minutes. I mean, 5 for 11 from the floor, 2 for 3 from three, you know, 14, 6 and 5. Played a hell of a game on the defensive end, 3 steals. I mean, I think he's great at the small forward position. I do. There's a lot of, I guess, chatter about his position though. I mean, and I want to get your take on this because a lot of people think he should be playing the one. What do you think about?
And that's the thing, right? And I think as a coach, you have to put a player in a position to maximize his ability. And Scott Brooks, to be frank, failed to do that with Tomas Satoransky, another tall point guard, always played him at the 2 or 3, slotted him off the ball, catch and shoot, occasionally distributed the ball when he had the chance or started fast breaks. And they're kind of using Troy Brown the same way. I mean, Troy Brown's a point guard, right? I mean, he might not look it positionally. He looks like he's probably sized for the 2 or 3, but he's not that great of a shooter. His best skill set that he can contribute with is his passing. So I was kind of perplexed. I mean, he played point guard for them in the bubble. It looked as if they were finally going to let him play that position. And then they signed Raul Neto, who seems to be a pretty solid point guard. I mean, he is. He's shown to be pretty solid. I don't know where this leaves Troy Brown. He's always kind of an outlier. He sticks out with this team. I mean, he's talented enough to get minutes, but positionally it just doesn't make sense. I mean, I think he should be playing the primary backup point guard, but they love Ish Smith. I don't really blame him. He's still productive. Kind of an odd fit. I don't know. So I just wanted to touch on the defense before we move on. How did you think they looked defensively? I mean, you touched on it earlier. You said they kind of struggled at the beginning, but what did you see in the second half?
Yeah, really, you know, just, you know, the beginning of the game. I mean, right, it's probably first game jitters. I mean, preseason starts, your star players aren't out there. Second half, they played great. They just were playing fast pace. They were hustling, and it was great to see them keep up with a team like Brooklyn. Brooklyn, we know they're going to go far in the postseason, barring injury, right? With the Wizards have a chance to do that too, though. They really, they honestly do at this point with the acquisition of Russ. I mean, pairing Russ and Brad together with guys like Davis, Thomas Bryant. I mean, and we see Denny. I mean, obviously we've seen one preseason game and he was perfect, but I think that bringing Russ in, I mean, he's always been like solid defensively. A lot of people like to talk about him, you know, leaving his, you know, assignment for rebounds. I get all of that, you know, for the stat padding. That's a whole nother discussion. But just on the floor in general, offense, defense, I mean, this guy comes, he plays at 300 miles an hour. I mean, all these guys, like you saw in the game, I mean, they were going, you know, they're playing fast pace and they want to be competitive. Rui, I was very impressed with Rui. I loved it. I loved the game. It was great. Looking forward to Detroit coming up. Now, Detroit, you know, Blake's back. You know, Derek, you know, they got Derek Rose back. They don't have too much they're working with,
though. Man, I'm not going to lie, dude. I mean, I watched their – granted, of course, this is all through the lens of one preseason game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter, but – I kind of like their team. A lot of people are talking about they signed too many centers, and I get it. They did, right? It's 2020. There's no reason to have Jahlil Okafor on your roster. But,
Jahlil.
I mean, all of their guys are pretty versatile. Like, Plumlee is an underrated passer. Blake Griffin is an outstanding passer for a big man. And immediately he showed that at the beginning of their preseason game. I forget against who they played, but – I mean, having a big who can distribute like that is an asset. So I don't know. I obviously don't think they'll make the playoffs or make any noise, but they're a lot better than I think most people anticipate. And that's what we're looking forward to on Thursday. And I think more than anything, it's just to see if Denny Avdia is going to continue through this trajectory, right? If he's going to continue playing at this level, how Rui Hachimura is going to look. And I think we might even get to see Russ and Beal for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, today Scott did say that there's a very good chance that Russ and Brad are going to see some playing time. So we're going to look around that 20 to 22, maybe 20. I'm guessing probably around 22 minutes. Russ and Brad will have a good chance to play. Davis Bertans still a no-go for preseason action.
I'm pumped, Dan. I mean, look. This team is exciting. There's a lot to look forward to. And we appreciate you guys for listening. It's our first episode. You got 72 games left, right? That's how long the season is this season.
Right.
So make sure you tune back in with us tomorrow and every weekday from now on. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Wizards. And of course, tune in Thursday night as the Wizards take on the Detroit Pistons at 7 p.m. So we'll catch you guys next time.